tus anhelos?
Sí. Los anhelos más grandes es definitivamente seguir fortaleciendo, a pesar de que físicamente mis hijos se vayan, seguir fortaleciendo a mi familia. La verdad, sí, a mí mi familia es lo que más me impulsa, me mueve. Y yo les quiero invitar a que se sientan orgullosos porque forman parte de un programa donde solamente tienes que ser mujer para formar parte de él, y esto es Tonali. Muchas gracias por todo.
Igualmente, gracias.
Transfórmate.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Clinton Street Resistance Series every Monday night at the Clinton Street Theater. Monday, March 11th, Clinton Street Resistance will screen The Big Sick. This screening benefits the Bus Project. Again, that's The Big Sick, showing Monday, March 11th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage, under Community Events.
At KBOO, we accept many kinds of vehicle donations. We accept fuzzy vans, broken cars, zippy scooters, seaworthy boats, well-worn farm equipment, family-sized SUVs, old jet skis, and more. If your vehicle has a clean title, we can take it as a donation. If your vehicle isn't working, we can work with that too. Call 877-KBOO-123. That's 877-526-6123. Or go to our website, kboo.fm/vehicle.
You know what that song means.
It's time for Pacific Underground.
Woohoo!
So you are turned into Pacific Underground here on KBOO Community Radio, your only radio show west of the Mississippi for the Asian and Pacific Islander community.
On KBOO Portland.
A very special show.
Yay!
We are calling today's episode Asian Femme Time.
Yay!
Let's have to describe what Asian Femme Time is.
So outside of the show, you and I are really good friends, and we hang out like once a week just to talk about things, like talk about our lives, talk about Star Trek, music that we listen to. So we talk about light and airy things, but we also talk about deep personal issues.
Sometimes it's like tears, and like we're talking about family
and pain.
We're doing all the things, you know. We're doing the things that people that like besties do when they hang out and you know, talk about stuff. And so, you know, usually on this show we have a guest in and we talk about an event, or we talk about a business, or we feature somebody. But something I think that's really important in talking about the Asian Pacific Islander community is to talk about how we're real people when we're not, you know, trying to overcome oppression in this country and accomplish awesome things. We are just normal people. And so we thought that this week we just sort of share what it's like for at least two Asians.
Yeah, two Asians.
Two East Asians to be hanging out, and we'll let you guys in on some femme time. And so, Tabitha, let's just get like right into it. Okay. So I brought us, because it's something we also do in Asian Femme Time, is we do stupid things together, is I brought us some double eyelid tape.
I'm so excited to try this.
I am way nervous to try this. Okay, so if you are API, you know exactly what this tape is, because it is like you either cringe or you love it, or you have neutral feelings. But there's definitely like, you know what it is. So if you don't know what it is, because you're like one of the 1% Asians who have like somehow.
So fabulous, or maybe you're mixed and you don't need this double eye stick tape.
I don't know. I think everybody could use this tape. It's so magical.
It is almost Halloween.
Okay, let's describe what it is. So if you don't know what a monolith is, because not all Asians necessarily have mm-hmm. a monolith, but if you are one of those people that when you open your eyes, you can see a visible crease, then you have what's called a double eyelid. Mm-hmm. But if you are like many, especially like East Asians, when you open your eye, you don't get that crease, and so you have what's called a monolid. Mm-hmm. And for many people who want to wear eye makeup, they find this to be a problem
yes.
because you don't have that crease, and so it's hard to do like the smoky eyes.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Or put this. This is your shade. This is your crease color. This is your lid
I
color.
Know.
This is your brow color. It's like I don't have a crease.
And so, if you go to Asia, it's very, very common, especially in Korea, mm-hmm. that people get this double eyelid surgery. And this is something that happens all over the world. Like when people
yeah.
are like,
yeah.
especially as you age and your eyelids start to sag, mm-hmm. you'll see a lot of people will get it because it like starts to block your vision. But instead. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In Asia, people just get it to get the double eyelid. And we're not going to go much into the history of it. So if you want to, listen to the podcast. I got this idea after listening to the podcast on 99% Invisible. And they talk about the history of where this comes from and why the mm-hmm. surgery is cringy and was introduced by a European, but then mm-hmm. it's like picked up by Asians. And so I have definitely had negative feelings about it in my mm-hmm. life. But I've also, like, as I've learned more, I've had, like, really mixed feelings about mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so we decided that instead of just wondering about it in life, Tabitha and I are going to try it.
Woohoo! And if you want to watch our silly experiment, we're live streaming it right now.
Thanks, Janka is live streaming. So what it is like these little thin pieces. Like imagine like pinstripe tape. You would mm-hmm. put on a car. Okay, and so we each have some.
It's like about 3/4 of an inch long.
Yeah, maybe. And you're going to put it, what we're going to do, put it on the eyelid. And it's a double stick tape, so it has like backing on one side, backing on the other. You stick it on your eyelid. Okay, let's do this right now, Tabitha. Okay,
oh,
so we're going to peel
goody.
It back from the backing. And
and
okay,
we do have mirrors in front of us.
Yeah, so is your prediction that we will look somehow, like, because people do this because they say that they need their eyes to look more open, that they look mm-hmm. too sleepy. One controversy that happened a while ago is Julie Chen. She's a mm-hmm. TV personality.
Yeah.
She admitted to getting the surgery mm-hmm. because she had been told by Hollywood that her eyes looked too sleepy.
Ugh, stupid Hollywood.
I know. But the thing is that she likes it, and I don't want to be, you know,
yeah.
giving grief to people who, like, enjoy it, because I think it's just a preference. It is just a personal preference, mm-hmm. but it does
yeah.
have somewhat of a
yeah.
interesting history when it comes to whiteness and oppression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But nonetheless, we're trying it. We're each going to try it on one eye.
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go.
I feel like
I've peeled off the backing, and I'm going, okay, here, let's. I'm putting it on my eye now. On my.
I can't stop giggling.
Oh my god. Okay. Then, so I stuck it on my eye now. And then what they do is they give you this plastic, what I call the shoving stick. And so once you put it on your eyelid, then you're supposed to shove the skin together. Okay, I'm looking in the mirror. I'm supposed to shove my skin back onto this tape to create the fold. I'm shoving. I don't feel like I have a double eyelid, like a European double eyelid. I feel like I just look like I have a really wrinkled eyelid. Maybe I'm making things worse for myself.
I haven't shoved it on my eye. I have it on my eye. It feels really weird. But I have a shoving tool, and I'm going to shove it my eyelid.
Okay.
Get the skin to stick to each other.
I can't get it to stick. Instead, it's sticking to my eyelid. Oh, wait. Oh. Tabitha!
What?
What do you think? I should have to put on your glasses. Let's see.
Yeah.
Does it look like I have a double eyelid?
Your eyes are bigger,
so
but
they look more open. Do I look like surprised? Or?
No.
I don't know. Okay, so this is a really interesting sensation. I can feel it every time I blink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And okay, so I only have it on my right eye and I don't have it on my left eye. And it's not as though I can like see more, because it's not like more of my pupil is exposed
yeah.
or anything like that. So, Tabitha, let's have a look at you. Wait, which eye is it on?
It's on my left eye.
I can't even tell.
See?
Oh, wait, but you know what? I will say that your left eye looks, I don't
is it
see
bigger?
The crease, but it looks bigger.
Okay.
So
it's looking at myself in the mirror, it's It's kind of an alien experience because I'm just not used to my eye looking like that. I do see a crease, but it's not like super obvious.
Okay, so do you feel more westernized? Get it? Western eyes?
But I'm joking. We also make a lot of puns when we're just hanging out. No?
Okay, yeah, because I feel... Okay, so when you're looking at my eyes right now, I mean my eye.
Yeah.
My right eye, my right double eye right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I know.
Do you feel like I look more European? Because I feel like I just look like an Asian person. I don't look any...
Yeah, other than your eyes being a little bigger, like, I can hardly see the crease.
Yeah, and I don't know how this would create more
lid.
Space for smoky eye.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we're going to keep these on for the rest of the show.
Yeah, and we'll check in at the end of the show to see.
Okay, so wait, let's look at the live stream. Hi, live streamers, if you're watching. So this side, on my left side, this is the side that doesn't have it, and this is what I have it. So... If you have an opinion, let us know if you think somehow on this side, I now look more Euro, and on this side, I just look like old Jenna. Like, that's just old hat, but this isn't even improved.
Okay. And I'm wearing it on my left side, so this side has the double eye stick, and my right side, maybe your left side.
So to go on to KBOO on their Facebook. So just look for KBOO Community Radio at KBOO Community Radio. You can yeah. see us. You know, the thing is that I bought these locally here in Portland. Mm-hmm. I went to...
Oh, where'd you go?
So I went to that beauty supply shop that's next to Fubon.
Oh, yeah, pretty
cute
and cute.
Yeah, pretty. Is it cute and pretty or pretty and
pretty
cute?
Pretty and cute.
I felt pretty and cute. I mean, like right now...
Yeah, their products, the store name does not lie because their shop is very pretty and very cute.
Yeah, they got a lot of like the Korean products mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And when I walked in, like I've never bought this tape before. I've never even seen this tape, the double eyelid tape before. I walk in and I was really shocked because I said, you know, like, oh, do you guys have double eyelid tape? And there were 20 kinds. They ranged from $5 to $20.
Wow.
And you probably get like, let's see, on this one it says 48. So you get like a month's supply
yeah.
basically of them. And mm-hmm. it was like there's glue.
How many pieces does the $20 set come with?
I mean, it's like you can buy them in rolls like on Amazon and stuff like that. You can mm-hmm. buy them in rolls where there's like 200 of them so you can use them every day.
Wow.
Anyhow, it was next to the skin lightening cream and Ooh. Stuff. And I know, so, it brought up so many feels about Asian beauty standards.
Yeah, yeah.
Because paleness has always been a part of Asian beauty mm-hmm, standards. It has, like, yes. nothing to do with, like, westernization. It's yeah. just, like...
It's, yeah, the geisha, the reason they wear that white face paint is, which apparently was actually Nightingale droppings back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah, because... paleness is a sign of beauty. Also, customers said how they liked how the skin looked in the candlelight.
Well, let me ask you, have you ever used the skin lightening cream?
I have not.
Do you feel the pressure to be pale, even though we're in
no,
America?
No, oh. I don't. Because my parents, they've never really pressured my sister and I to conform to certain Western beauty standards. And
what about Eastern beauty standards?
No, they never said anything about how we should look. I mean, they always cared about how we shouldn't wear anything too revealing. But as far as makeup went, they kind of, my parents never discouraged or encouraged us to try makeup.
Okay, you know what confuses me about my family?
What?
Is that like, okay, so growing up, all my family, like mainly they were farmers. Mm-hmm. And so everybody in my family was pretty tan from like being mm-hmm. outside all day.
Yeah.
I was very tan too, because I was outside all day too. But they would like give me grief and be like, you need to like wear a hat and like you need to be pale. And they had really racist names for me.
Oh.
Because I was one of the darkest of like all my cousins and stuff. And it was really interesting that I had these people who weren't pale who mm-hmm. like really wanted me to be pale. And then whenever I go to Japan, I have aunties who follow me with umbrellas and stuff and just like. And so, yeah, I don't necessarily feel a pressure, especially now mm-hmm. as an adult. Mm-hmm. Also because like I've just let my skin go. Like I'm a backpacker, mm-hmm. so I get leathery and brown, and like I'm just like I can't even fight it.
Yeah. Definitely growing up, my parents did like put hats and sunglasses and things, but it was more out of a concern of getting skin cancer.
Yeah, that too.
Than keeping our skin white and pale.
Okay, one thing I question about that, maybe this is your mm-hmm. your East Asian privilege, Tabitha, mm-hmm. is, okay, by the way, the tape, I think it's like coming undone because I'm starting to see it in my vision. Anyhow, so that just... checking in so people can know. But
such a weird sensation.
I've always wondered this about East Asians who have straight hair. Like mm-hmm. you have very long, you have that very kind of like classic Chinese East Asian, like very long, straight, mm-hmm. very thick, mm-hmm. Very black hair. Mm-hmm. While my hair is it's always been very wavy and very frizzy, mm-hmm. And it's not super black, it's more of a very, very dark brown. Mm-hmm. And I was always very jealous about that. And I remember that being one kind of East Asian beauty standard that I hated about myself, that I didn't have the stick straight hair, because that was like such a thing.
I will admit my hair is one of my points of vanity, because growing up, my family always complimented me on how beautiful and thick my hair was. And I sort of play along. It's like, oh, thank you. And I have really long hair now, but it's more out of like pure laziness than anything else, because I've had bob cuts and really short hair. And I have been tempted to just chop it all off, but I also don't like maintaining it, because you have to go back to the salon once a month to like trim your hair. It's like, that's too much trouble. I'd rather go to the salon.
No, like, I haven't cut my hair since 2012. Like, I don't cut my hair.
Oh, wow.
You know what's funny about that? It's, the reason you cut your hair, you don't cut your hair, is because you're like lazy.
I know.
I intentionally don't cut my hair because of this whole, it's kind of a meditation, but it's also an attempt to get me to appreciate my hair, since I hated it mm-hmm. my whole life. Like, I spent all of my 20s straightening my hair. I paid so much money. I had all the straighteners. I did everything. And so these days, like,
and I think you have really nice hair.
Well, thank you, Tabitha. So back in 2012, I was last time I cut my hair, and I just decided to let it keep growing mm-hmm. so that I would force myself to like it or get used to it. I'm still mm-hmm. not completely used to it, and every once in a while, oh my god, I just want to shave my head.
Yeah,
because I still have like these weird feelings of the Eastern beauty mm-hmm. standard that I wonder that other Asians, and this is a good mm-hmm. thing about living in Portland because there's like no Asians, is that I wonder if the other Asians are looking at me like I am ugly. Like, even though I know it's not a thing, like it's just in my head.
Yeah.
So sad.
Oh, I mean, do you think, have you ever cut your hair short?
Oh yeah, I've had super short hair. I've had the like, I've had the Aeon Flux.
Oh, that.
I've been the hair streak Asian. I had the purple hair streak. I was super cool. Yeah. I had the hair streak before the hair streak. Like I was in that generation of like, we're the first hair streakers.
Yeah.
Okay. I can tell my eye. I got to check out my eye in this mirror thing again. Wow. No one else can see it. It's so weird.
I know. I feel its presence constantly, especially when I do blink. And I feel like it's like you can probably really see a really heavy crease. But whenever I look in the mirror, it's like, no, I don't really see a heavy crease. Like, maybe my eye is a little bigger, but I don't notice.
Okay, let's get back to this crease.
Yeah.
Thing, just because this tape thing is too funny. Would you recommend that I do this on the daily, Tabitha? Like, does it make me look like rocking?
No.
It's not like enough of a difference to
It's not enough of a difference to like try. If I saw more of a crease, I'd say, yeah, for dress up, maybe occasionally. I mean, I see no harm in it. I mean, if you like doing it every day, I mean, more power to you.
I would get really good at the shoving stick part.
Yeah.
That just stresses me out, is the shoving stick. Okay, enough about our double eyelids.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about, let's talk about some, like, I don't know, let's talk about life stuff.
Yeah.
How's your life been?
It's been okay. I've been looking for a new job, and
how's that going?
Nothing stresses me out more than
capitalism.
Yes, and looking for a job, because I've gotten so many interviews, but then they always send me the email, thanks for meeting with us. We've decided to move forward with another candidate, or we unfortunately can't offer you employment at this time. It's like, ugh. And one can only take so much rejection before it's like, why even bother? I do have my other part-time job as the after-school teacher.
That's good.
But it's just part-time. And it's enough to cover my bills, my rent and my bills, but I have like no disposable income, so I can't save any money. And I want to surround myself with tons of chihuahuas, so I need to save money. So if I'm going to like surround myself with tons of chihuahuas, I need to save money. But in my current job, like I can't save money. I don't have enough disposable income unless I save like $10 a month.
It's so hard to get that like second part-time job. I feel like if they know, because I feel like I know a lot of people right now who have one job that's like covering bills and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no one has disposable income. And so, and it's so hard to get that second job because if they know you have another job, then they're like, oh, you're scheduling, blah, blah, blah.
I'm sorry.
That is painful.
It's, and I gotta say, nothing really triggers my anxiety and depression more than job hunting.
Oh my gosh, cover like, letters and resumes make me want to hide.
Oh, and I gotta thank you. You've helped me so much with my cover letters, making them sound so much better and making me sound less like a raving lunatic.
That's what you have to do though with the cover letters and the resumes. You like have to have other people because otherwise like my cover letters come out to be like 3 pages and at the end of it I still haven't told them what my current job is.
How do I summarize this?
I wish you luck.
Thank you.
And finding a job. Anybody who's listening, if you are looking for a part-time employee who has a love of chihuahuas and experience teaching children, is an amazing seamstress.
Thank you.
Has rockin' hair and one double eyelid. Tabitha is available.
Yes. You can email me at
City, it's definitely like, do you do you feel like right now it's harder or easier to get a job than usual?
Oh, that's hard to say because I don't know if it's easier per se, but I have a lot more job experience, so
yeah.
Because I can remember trying to look for a job when I was 20. It was so hard, but that was because I didn't have any job experience.
Yeah.
But now that I'm older and grayer and I have a lot more job experience, I don't... It's like I've been interviewed, so I feel like the people that interview me think I'm qualified. But whether or not they want to work around my schedule or they want to... Or... they want to pay me what I'm worth. That's like
does
a whole other issue.
Does it make you frustrated though? Like, because I get frustrated where I'm like, okay, I'm 36 now. I have like so much job experience.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, why isn't this leading me to a job? But you know, that's like everybody. So good luck. I'm still looking for thing too. I still haven't gotten, okay, so we've talked about this off the air in our private agent. But yeah, so like I'm looking for another part-time job too. And I do not know how many cover letters and resumes I have sent out and like don't hear back from everyone. And I feel like a sad, lonely person where I'm like checking my email like every 5 minutes as if or sometimes I'm like checking it at 10 p.m. because I'm like, maybe they stayed at work. The HR guy stayed at work.
They came in on Sunday to check out their emails.
Oh my gosh. Can we talk about your shirt? What?
Oh.
Okay. First of all, Tabitha is wearing a red shirt that says Social Justice Warrior Press Start. And it looks all like
a video. I got this at PAX.
PAX which stands for?
Penny Arcade Expo. It's a big gaming convention in Seattle, Washington. There are several PAXes all across the nation, but it's like a celebration. No, not just video games, but tabletop gaming too.
Because you're a big nerd.
What?
Because you're a big nerd.
Because I'm a giant nerd, and this is one of the things we love talking about, how what giant nerds we are.
Yeah.
And there was a, they had an area called the Diversity Lounge, where they had
Oh, God, that sounds cringy.
Well, I guess it was the...
Did you walk in with just like a little bit of like...
Well, I mean... I thought it was cool because it was a bunch of like Geek Girl Con, Lady Planeswalker Society. These are all like women's only cons, but then there were like Gamer X, and Gamer was spelled G-A-Y-M-E-R, and a bunch of cons that were and nonprofits that were LGBTQ friendly. Mm. And LGBTQ focused. So I thought it was cool that there was this area that celebrated that diversity. Also POC.
I just find it's very interesting. Sorry to interrupt, because mm-hmm. I'm just like, I'm so sucked into what the shirt says. It says social justice warrior, which is one of those terms that mm-hmm. I feel like the right has
co-opted
and
made it into a really dirty word.
It's this like pejorative thing. Mm-hmm. And so I find it really interesting that this shirt obviously looks like it's not making fun of social justice mm-hmm. warriors, that it's something that's like celebrating.
Yeah, yeah.
And then on top of it, just to add to the nerddom, if you aren't watching the live stream right now, Tabitha is wearing, she's added a Star Trek insignia pin onto the side. But yeah, so I just wonder about that. I mean, because obviously Star Trek is social justice warriors.
Of course.
So I'm just curious about why you chose that shirt and like how you feel about that term, social justice warrior.
I proudly call myself a social justice warrior. Oh, but I guess going back to PAX, like so many tangents, but this is the one thing that happened. But I felt it was a little cringy that there was like relegate all the POC, LGBTQ, other alphabet soups in one corner.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, why does it need like a cringe corner?
I know. I mean, on one side, it's like, oh, this is a safe space for, like, where anyone that's not cis or straight.
But it also feels like they're concentrating you on
I know. I know.
It's the, okay, so hopefully they'll start to figure it out. Because, like, a con I went to recently, like, they didn't have people in a corner. They just sort of put
spread booths them
wherever.
Out.
And I feel like that's, like... That's way more.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? We should like tell people who are just tuning in right now what they're listening to. You're listening to Pacific Underground here on Cable Community Radio. And today, me and Tabitha, this is Jenna here, we are having Asian Femme Time, which is basically what Tabitha and I do when we just like hang out when
you
we're
get
not
to hang out with us. Yeah. How lucky is
we're
that?
We're just like hanging out and talking about what we talk about in life. Tabitha, by the way, something else we do during Asian Femme Time is that we like we'll swap music and like play movies. We like watch like bad Asian films together and stuff like that. So right now, one of those songs that has been part of my summer playlist and has managed to make it past summer and into fall is this song by Yuna that came out like 3 years ago or something, but I'm still just like obsessed with it. And maybe if I got a thing for Usher, who knows, but it's that song Crush that came out 3 years ago, and I thought maybe we could give some like Asian Femme Time to Yuna, even though like Usher's in it, like whatever, maybe we'll just play at the part where she's in the beginning
because
it's so good. So here's Yuna with Crush.
'70s classic like you and me. I'll be coming down. shouldn't waste time no more.
All right, that's enough. All we wanted to hear was, you know, we don't need no Usher. He doesn't need to come in on Asian Femme Time.
Yeah,
but
no.
The video's so good.
And it came out in 2015?
I think it came out in 2015. Maybe it was 2016.
Okay.
That one's so good. That one's like kind of put her like on the map because she like, you know, collaborated with Usher and stuff like that. She's so good. She's so good. Okay. The live streamer saw this, but we were just talking about this, how the tape on my eye is totally coming unstick at this point. I'm just looking weird at this point. But okay, wait, real quick. One thing I realized when it was actually looking good and I had one double eyelid and one not, was that I kind of looked like my mom. Because as she's like aged, like one of her, you know, she's kind of getting the saggy, like one of her eyes has like a double eyelid and the other one still doesn't. And I was like, oh my God, this is what I'm going to look like in like 30 years.
I wonder, it's like, Asian men, am I more attractive? Ooh.
Let's talk about being attractive.
Okay.
To maybe Asian men. I don't know. Let's talk about, this is the one thing we talk about during Asian men time, obviously, is we talk about our love
relationships.
Lives. Relationships. Relationships and love or sex
or lack
lives,
thereof.
Or like just what's going on. Tyler, what's going on?
So I'm in a relationship, but I feel
let's make some names. So we have some like anonymity. So,
yeah.
So you're dating a guy, and we'll call him what?
My partner's name is Bean.
Okay, so his name really isn't Bean.
No,
but we're gonna call him Bean for the show. We're gonna call him Bean. So you're in a relationship. You've been with Bean for a year now. How's it going?
Good, good.
So on the other day, you guys look good together. Yeah. Like, like doing the thing.
We're going to go down to Salem this weekend to see my parents and visit my stinky chihuahuas.
So romantic, you two.
So romantic.
Oh my God, chihuahuas and parents.
Oh, I'm.
And you're actually really excited about that.
Yes, I'm very excited. So romantic. Chihuahuas. but I feel like.
God bless Bean.
I'm moving into this asexual phase of my life. Because
asexual, what do you mean?
Because I've been noticing my libido has just been lowered, and whenever we hang out, like,
is this just like recently? Like,
yeah, I'd say in the last couple of months.
Huh.
Yeah, like maybe over the summer, that I just want to cuddle. I feel like talking is really intimate for me. It's the same level of intimacy as like sex, and just like. Snuggling and talking about like deep personal issues, and is just like all I really want to do.
Yeah, I mean, like, that makes sense.
I don't really need like a physical component, and I'm happy I just get really excited when we hold hands or when we hug or when we kiss, and that's like all I need.
Is it creating like any sort of issue? Is it, I don't know, like how in depth we can get in here, but isn't it creating a sort of like issue?
It is. Last time we hung out, we talked about how I'm just moving into this other phase of my life and how he of course would like more physical contact, and gosh, this sounds so bad, but I told him like I'm still willing to have sex with him,
wait, did you say it like that? Did you say the word willing?
Yes.
To Bean? Oh my gosh.
It sounded way better in my head. And then when I said it, I was like, oh God, that sounds super bad.
Well, if you'd like some charity, Bean, I'm willing to do it. Oh my, I hope he like side-eyed, then direct-eyed, and then side-eyed again just because you said it that way.
He called me out on it. He said it. It's like, you know, that doesn't make me feel any better. It's like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that.
Willing. I'm willing. Woo! That's some rough stuff.
I know.
Dating Tabitha is real.
I know. Yeah.
Well, good for Bean for, you know, being understanding.
Yeah.
At least for that one comment.
Yeah. And so we're still dating, and he said, we'll figure it out together. So
that's good.
Yeah.
But that's like, that's one of those things. I don't know. That's like kind of like in relationships where you, especially because you guys have been together for like just over a year ish. And so like, you know, once you kind of get past that honeymoon phase together.
That's what I'm also wondering, if we're just past the honeymoon phase and we're getting to, like, actually know each other. And because I know, like, with any new relationship, there's that initial, like, oh my God, I want to spend every moment, waking moment with you and talking to you and texting you and having all the sex with you and such. But then, like, after a certain amount of time, I mean, it's different for everyone. Then, like, you don't want...
Well, you have the ebb and flow.
Yeah, you have the ebb and flow.
You have the ebb and flow and things. You sort of, like, see what's up. And, you know, okay, I do enjoy when you kind of get to that place in a relationship with someone where it's like you can just sit quietly together and like that's enough. I mean, definitely the you know, the physicality thing could become like an issue, but it's nice when you get to that place where you're just like, wow, we know each other so well, we love each other so much or whatever, that it's like this other thing that isn't just like lust or something like that.
You can just hang out in a room together, not say anything, and just know what the other person, just know that the other person's okay. And that they're cool just hanging out in a room with you. And you don't have to say anything to each other.
Well, and like one thing that we talk about during Asian Femme Time a lot when it comes to dating is we talk about how we talk about race in dating because, you know, we're us. Yeah. So we always end up talking
about race. Yeah, we always talk about race.
Yeah. And so, like, just to give some updates for me with you and being like how, like, he's white. And so do you guys ever still have, like, racial things?
And I think I've mentioned on the show before, I've only ever dated white men. And that's definitely just it's not intentional. It's just, I think, a product of
growing up in Salem?
Yeah.
Dating in Portland?
Yeah, dating in Portland, Seattle, and Salem. It's just a product of, I guess... accessibility, and I just meet so many other more white men than I do POC men, but I sort of see my relationship as kind of like, I guess, a break from race, but, you know, it's always gonna be like an issue.
That's so cute that you think you can take
a break. I know
because you can't.
No, I can't,
especially in the, like, interracial relationship thing. Like, it's always a thing in the air. Like, you can race stuff doesn't necessarily have to directly come up all the time, but it's always
something there.
There's always something there. It's a little weird or uncomfortable.
Yeah
And you're always having to, like, make little compromises here and there.
And I've taken him to POC things, and he says some cringy things, and then we have to have a conversation later on. It's like, dude, what you said was really cringy.
Is he good at that, like, conversation? Because I feel I remember one time we talked about before, and it seemed like you guys had, like, a good conversation, even if it's, like, difficult. Good for you for having that, because I'm really bad at the conversation, which is why, like, I think I'm like,
how's your dating?
Okay. How's Jenna's dating life? Yeah, so when it comes at least to the race thing, I am currently not dating anybody white. I am dating an Asian guy right now. And I will say that because, like, the last person I dated was white. And now dating an Asian dude, I'm like, it's so much difference. I forgot kind of the difference.
How's it? So I've never dated a POC.
Well, let me tell you.
Yeah, you'll have to enlighten me what it's like to date a POC person.
Okay, so, like, the thing that I'm enjoying right now in not dating a white person, I mean, this is not to say that there's things that are, you know, something wrong with a white person, blah, 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 like, inherently, whatever. It's just that, at least in my experience, because I think I've done about, like, half and half. Half people I've dated are white, half people I've dated are POC. Is the big difference is the code switching. And every time I'm with a POC, I realize like how exhausting it is to code switch with white people. And like, no matter how much I've tried to date a white person and not code switch and like be myself as much as possible, that it just doesn't happen. Like there's always, even if the person's like super quote unquote like woke, you know, there's always going to be that racial thing in the room. They're going to say cringy things, you know, they're not going to understand my struggle or whatever. And so there's a lot of code switching, or there's just a lot of like letting things pass because you don't want to have to like have that discussion and talk about race again, right? So I enjoy the fact that like right now I'm dating another Asian person, and so it's like we have those sorts of things in common. And so, you know, like he doesn't randomly like tell me, I don't know, like how he went to Japan and how he loves all the Asian women or something like that. I don't know. You know, just like the little, like the last white dude I dated would, he would wear this Karate Kid shirt that had Mr. Miyagi on it. And, you know, it's like, I tried to explain to him that it like made me cringe a bit. And he was just like, oh, whatever. Other Asians I know like it, you know? And it's just that sort of thing where I was just like, don't use
other people as your shield.
Yeah. And so like, I enjoy that, like that doesn't happen. You know, I think like other issues happen, especially like for me, at least when I, it depends on race. Like the race thing always comes up no matter what who you're dating, right? Because like if I'm dating an Asian person, you like there's always sometimes this internalized fear of the Asian issues. Like I've definitely had fear of dating Asian men because I'm like, dude, I'm not gonna take care of your mom.
And Asian men can be so toxic too.
They have their own, and it's like, and it's because it's our culture, like you know, it's its own thing that has to do with like your family and like your culture. And so there's like those things, not so much happening with the dude I'm dating right now, but that's definitely like happened in the past where I'm just like, because I see those same Asian guys sometimes like they'll date white women and they act totally different, but there's something about, hey, we're the same culture that makes it different. And then like I've definitely like dated people who are outside of my ethnicity and like that has its own issues too. Like when I've dated like black men, that has its own thing too, because that power dynamic is not equal. And you know, there are people who like stare that are other POC that have opinions, and I totally understand. So it's like no matter what, there's always always something. But at least I'm totally like on this rant here. But when it comes to
current what we dating do life, with Asian femme
I know. Literally, when it comes to current dating life, I don't know what I can do about the whites. I want to think that I can date white people. But every time I do it, okay. Because I went on a date with a white guy on Sunday.
Ooh.
Yeah, and that's...
How did it go?
I mean, it was okay. The guy was nice.
Yay.
He was a white guy who was nice.
Okay. Would you go on a second date with him?
That's the thing. I don't know. It's like, sure, he was nice and he was attractive. And there was nothing that like really went wrong. But...
You're just preparing yourself for when he says something cringy.
Yeah, and I found myself code switching. Like, I knew if this was a non-white person, the conversation, the things I would have said probably would have been different. I would have spoken differently. I would have maybe, like, you know, like, to a white person, you can never mention that they're white. Otherwise, not all white people, I know. But, like, a lot of times there's that fragility that comes up and stuff like that. So, especially, like, on a first date, I get really hesitant and don't know how to speak, and I test the water and I like do little things to like be like, how can you handle these convos? Because I can't be with someone who
can't have those conversations. And how do you meet him?
Where do you think I met him? On the greatest place to find human beings and dates, the Tinder.
Oh, good. Man, when I was looking to date, like, I did not want to go on any online dating sites because I didn't want to be fetishized. Because I feel like this is a real struggle with Asian women that are looking for love.
You feel like it is. It is. The problem is, okay, like, yeah. And I think you're right to avoid it. You met Bean.
I did, through friends.
Through friends, and that's better. In many ways. I mean, because, like, okay, well, though, okay, Asian dude that I'm dating right now, will come Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. Is that like really racist? No. All of the Asians love Bruce Lee. We're going to call him Bruce. Why not? Some Asians are probably cringing at me right now. But yeah, like, because there are a lot of people on the Tinder who send me super cringy messages.
Yeah.
Like, because, okay, on Tinder, you can only message someone if you've both swiped right, if you've both matched and you like each other. So then I'll see a person who's like, oh, okay, you're like, whatever, because I'm just indiscriminate. I'm like, whatever, swiping, whatever. And they look like a normal person. They don't mention that they're like some kind of weeaboo.
Oh, good.
But then they'll message me like in Japanese or something. Ew. And you're just like, oh.
No.
Or like the white guy that I was on the date with on Sunday. He drove me back to my place and the whole date was pretty okay. And then while we're going back, he says to me, I've never dated an Asian person before.
It's like, do you expect it to be different or something?
I mean, and I understand, like, he's not trying to be like, ooh la la, I bet you are going to be like, may love you a long time or something. No, I don't think it's like that. You know, I think he's just like bringing up a thing, but at the same time, this is what I'm talking about, like the difference between dating like a white person, non-white person, is that like, I don't think he even understands.
Yeah.
Like how that like instantly made me go like, oh, I can't wait to get home.
Like, yeah. It's like, so glad you're driving me back home now.
And just, you know, but then like, because I met Bruce on Tinder.
Okay.
And I didn't feel fetishized, you know, by like him contacting me. So, you know, there's always that worry. So, yeah. You know, Tinder can go.
And yeah, and even with dating people, I guess, in real life, or just meeting through friends, like, when I'm on a date with a white person, there's always that question in my mind. It's like, are you just dating me because I'm Asian?
Yeah.
It's like, could we have completely disparate hobbies, different political views, but you just want to be with me because I'm a hot Asian chick? Ooh. And I'm like a trophy for your friends and family. Like, ugh.
I know.
Ugh. You don't want that.
You're good. Yeah.
Yeah. But Bean, I'll admit that was a concern when I first started dating Bean, because you talk about your dating history when you first date someone.
Yeah.
And he has dated two other Asian women and is like, red flags.
See, that's the thing. It's like, here's the other thing, is that like, I am hesitant of dating people who've never dated a non-white person before because it's so complicated, it's so complex, and I don't want to be the one who like teaches you all those things.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I've done that recently, and it just didn't work out. I was just like, oh my gosh, right? But then you also don't want the person who's like, well, I've dated like five Asian ladies, because then you're like.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about, and he's also dated white ladies too. He's not only ever dated Asian ladies,
because that's creepy.
Yes, if he only ever dated Asian ladies, that would be total red flags. Like, I don't think I want to go on another date with you. I'm a little creeped out. But I mean, this brings up a whole nother issue. He said he has a preference for Asian ladies.
Oh, and like, Bean.
And like, and we unpack that too. I mean, I'm obviously okay with it because I'm still with the guy, but it was definitely like, it did send up some questions when we first started dating. And I mean, I guess it's also self-examined me. It's like, do I just have a preference for white guys because I've only ever dated
them?
Yeah, that's
the thing.
So it's like, am I fetishizing white guys?
I know. That's the thing, too. Is that, like when I see white guys and I'm like, am I finding them way attractive? Because, okay, I'm going to admit this. I'm going to fully admit this, and everyone can sit with me and how I'm trash. Is like, I came to realize my own internalized racism, many years ago, but I had only, like, basically I had, my first boyfriend was brown, and then after that, they were, like, all white guys. And then I realized that about myself, where I was like, oh, I find Asian men less attractive than all other men, and I find white guys indiscriminately attractive.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, and it took a long time. And I find that I'm still fighting that today on mm-hmm. the Tinders mm-hmm. because, right, I got to do the swipe left, swipe mm-hmm. right. And
do you notice how much more frequently you swipe right or left on what the ethnicity
yeah,
of the person
I
is?
Feel bad when it comes, especially to the Asians. I think I am way more critical mm-hmm. where I'm just like, no. And I have had to like remind myself like, oh, don't be trash.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
yeah, yeah.
And like, don't just like assume that all Asian men are bad or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I swiped right on Bruce Lee. He's good mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I met him once. He seems really nice.
Right? Really? Yeah. He's good stuff. So, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Because I still do keep swiping right on white people. And I'm like, but it's Portland.
Yeah.
Like, 99% of the people on Tinder yeah. are like, what?
What people.
And so it's like, if you want to go on a date, but whatever. There are Asian dudes on there. Mm-hmm. And but then I'm also like, should I just swipe right just because they're Asian? And then that feels gross, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't win.
So I think the best advice is get off Tinder.
Yeah. Like, but then how are you gonna meet people, Jenna?
I could okay, this is the question. Because yeah. okay, back in the day,
mm-hmm.
back when I first started dating, there was no online dating.
Yeah.
You did this weird thing mm-hmm. where you went up to each other in
yeah,
real
you
life.
Talk to each other.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But now, because of online dating, there's this opposite reaction where people find you creepy.
Mm-hmm.
If you just randomly go up to yeah. like strangers, right?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like even in bars and in clubs, they're like, oh, why are you talking to me?
Yeah.
This is weird
yeah.
and creepy,
yeah.
right? So I'm like, I don't know how many friends of friends of friends I have that can like get me to meet people.
Yeah.
Or whatever, so I'm
yeah.
not quite sure. I'll stick with the Tinder for now. If you find me on Tinder, swipe right, say hi. What's up? You can be like, hey, I listen to you. And I'll be like, hey, what's up? Let's go grab some coffee.
Yeah.
Because this is one thing I discovered about Tinder. At mm-hmm. first, I thought it was like people just hooking up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. People want everything on there, man. People are like,
yeah,
like oh, a meditation
heard the,
partner.
Yeah. I always heard the reputation of Tinder as just a, like hookups and one-night no. stands.
People are looking to like, I'm looking for my like next like spouse and we're gonna like grow old together. Other
wow.
people are looking for like business connections. It is everything in between.
Oh wow. So maybe if Bean and I don't work out,
you start swiping with me.
Oh, but then cringe messages.
But it's less than when it was like on OkCupid and stuff like that, because now you get to like match. Because
that's
definitely
true.
when I was on OkCupid,
mm-hmm.
I would have so many, because anybody can send you a message, at least back when I was on it mm-hmm. like a decade ago. People would send me messages in Japanese all the time. And I wouldn't even say that I was Japanese in my profile. Mm-hmm. They would just see that I liked sushi and Catcher in the Rye. And they would like send me messages in Japanese.
Wait, how is Catcher in the Rye? I'll admit, I've never read this American
what?
Classic.
You didn't have to read it in high school? Well, good for you.
No, I didn't have to. I read The Great Gatsby. That's about the only... Oh, wait, no, I read Romeo and Juliet, but that's about the only thing I can remember that I had to read in high school.
Good for you. You didn't have to read all that whiteness. Because, yeah, I used to like Catcher in the Rye, and then one day I woke up and I realized I was like, oh, that's like the whitest thing ever, and I don't relate to this. And
I
now,
don't know. Great Gatsby's pretty white.
It's that, too.
White people,
I mean,
in
that's what
1920s
you read in high
New York.
This is why we need to assign high school kids now to read, like, mm-hmm. Crazy Rich Asians and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And be like, these are cringy Asians,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, some
know.
Maya Angelou.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like read about your own, I don't know, just read out
yeah.
some of the whiteness.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I remember one time getting a message in Japanese, which I cannot read Japanese, so I had no idea what it said. But in English letters, it said Catcher in the Rye. And I was just like,
why?
Yeah. So there you go. So there's the dating.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Well, I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks.
In, yeah, job search and in love.
You too.
Thank you.
I wish you luck in like your whole like asexual like
yeah.
fluidity that's mm-hmm, happening mm-hmm. right now, because I'm the total opposite of you.
Yeah.
I am like a thirsty lady these days. It's no good.
And in my 20s, yeah, I wanted to be like jumping people's bones left and right like all the time. And now, but I think this shows like the spectrum of sexuality, how it can change and flux over time.
It's
and,
so true.
Because who knows, maybe when I hit my 40s and I'll get my second wind, and then I'll just like wanting to have sex all the time.
Right, because they say that, like, there's that age. It's, like, mm-hmm. between, what is it, like, 36 or whatever, supposed to be, like,
yeah.
As a woman, it's supposed to be the best years of your life or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And I will say that for me, I'm like, I'm not Are sure you? How much it's like, ooh, I'm so great, versus just, like, yeah. you're older mm-hmm. and just, like, the partners I have mm-hmm. are older, and so we're not, like, awkward and 18 yeah. and, like, not knowing yeah. what to do. So I will say, I'm like, yeah, but right now, though, let's talk about, like, okay, we in our last couple minutes here, this is something else, yeah, we always talk about. Like, it's just like, yeah, Jenna's, like, thirsty. This is no good. It's been, like, forever. It's been forever since I had sex, and, like, I'm trying to take things slow mm-hmm. with the Bruce Lee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. I wonder if he's listening. I hope he's not listening. Maybe if you are listening to Bruce Lee, then you know I'm just, like, totally thirsty for you. So there you go.
Why do you want to wait with Bruce?
I don't know. We've just kind of, like, we've been kind of loosely dating for, like, a half a year or something like that. And things have just been, like, kind of okay. really slow. And we don't see each other a lot. Okay. But I like him a lot. And okay. I'm sort of, like, digging the, like, just kind of, like, hey.
So take it as a compliment if you're listening, Bruce.
I know. Because, I mean, sex changes things in, yeah, in relationships. Mm-hmm. And for the good or, you know, mm-hmm. bad, whatever. But I don't know. There's just, like, sort of this thing where I'm just kind of enjoying, like, this
mm-hmm.
kind of teasing game we're doing right now. And I'm just like, hey, hey, hey. But at the same time, I'm just like, I'm still me. So maybe, like, we need to join our forces yes. and, like, balance out yes. a little more. So yes. I'm just like,
I have a, I'll take a syringe, take some of your estrogen from you, pump it into me, and then maybe we'll, like, yeah, equalize ourselves. Because that's how science works, right?
This is how the Asian femtime
yes.
science works. We, like, we put our rings together and we do forces combined.
Yeah. I'll want more sex and you'll want less sex.
It's kind of like how, like if you guys don't know, like, I'm a long distance hiker, so, like, I go on these hikes that are, like, mm-hmm. 2,000 miles. I walk way too
we
much.
We went hiking
which,
at
yeah, which I'm also
Mount St. Helens a few
versus,
weeks
like,
ago.
Versus, like, Tabitha, who, like, thought our 1 mile hike was, like, the longest hike ever. So if we put our forces yeah. together, then yeah. we'll be, like, less extreme, like, with yeah. the no hiking and too much. So I mean, need to be, like, less thirsty and more thirsty.
Yes.
Or maybe we're just fine how we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why can't I just be yeah. a way thirsty lady who describes it on air, and you talk yeah. about your way not thirsty lady yeah. and describe
yeah.
that on
I
air.
I just have you cuddling.
And we embarrass Bean and Bruce, maybe.
Yay.
Or maybe they're loving this.
Yay. Yeah, who knows? But
well, maybe they're, like, calling in over the other line. They're just like, please, can you tell them something about this?
Well, then they'd have to out themselves, because then we get to hear their lovely, lovely voices.
Yeah, if you're Bean or Bruce, give us a call right now. Just kidding. We're almost out of time.
Yeah.
So thanks for tuning in
we
and listening.
We forgot to check in about on our eyelid
tape. Oh, wait. One last thing before the music takes us out. Okay, the eyelid tape is now attached to my eyelash, and I can
I
see
know,
it.
I know. I've been staring at it this whole okay. time.
We're going to call it double eyelid fail.
KBOO at the Clinton is a monthly film series that benefits your community radio station. This month, we'll screen the documentary film Circle of Poison on Thursday, March 14th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. Once a pesticide is banned in the United States for its dangerous health and environmental effects, companies are still permitted to manufacture it for export only. Circle of Poison documents the export of dangerous pesticides and the inspiring ways communities are fighting back. Again, that's Circle of Poison on Thursday, March 14th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the live performance of the West Lynn Radio Hour, KWL 1956, on Saturday, March 16th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Youth Music Project in West Lynn. For the past 3 years, the West Lynn Historical Society has produced the KWL radio show. This year, the reenactment will feature a roundup of the news, West Lynn history on parade, as the Willamette Flow soap opera, and more. Again, that's a live performance of the West Lynn Radio Hour, KWL 1956, on Saturday, March 16th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Youth Music Project, 2015 8th Avenue in West Lynn. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good afternoon. The time is 1:58 p.m. on KBOO Portland. Coming up on KBOO, we have special programming all day for International Women's Day. At 2 o'clock, Heather McCoy talks with Olivia Aubrey about her recent article in Vortex magazine titled #MeToo in #PDX Music. At 2:30, it's music time with DJ Aaron. She will be playing Murder Ballads by Women. At 3 p.m., DJ Aaron keeps spinning with the roots of rock and roll. At 4, an interview with Portland Freedom Fund. At 4:30, Emma Lugo talks about the quilting classes at Coffee Creek. And all of this KBOO programming is made possible by member support. If you want to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on the button marked Donate. Happy International Women's Day.
Welcome to a special edition of the Heather McCoy Show for International Women's Day. For the past 2 years, our culture has been rocked by, at one time, weekly allegations of sexual harassment by powerful men that came to be known as the Me Too movement. I'm here to discuss the implications that the Me Too movement has for the Portland music scene is my guest, Olivia Aubrey, who wrote an article for the Vortex Music Magazine entitled A Work in Progress, How Portland's Music Scene Can Be Shift Towards Healing. Welcome to the show, Olivia.
Thanks for having me.
In popular culture, the Pacific Northwest music scene is largely associated with Riot Girl from the early 90s and 2000s. What is the energy like within the scene now?
I would say the energy is like just as powerful as it was in the 90s, maybe. I don't know. I mean, there's the whole
I guess what I mean by that question